always look forward to the Monday night class and always learn something, always get something out of the teaching there. I guess when we get through Revelation, we'll just have to start all over again because, you know, there's enough in there. We'll just keep going over and over again. And so I don't want to take more of his time, so Brother Dimitri, you come preach for us.
All right. So good to be back here. Always enjoy coming down, be a part of the service here. I got loose this morning, and my people didn't quite know what to do. My song leader, after the fourth song, he just sat down. He's a lawyer. He does everything the same way every time. And I just had him so befuddled. Anyhow, our Lord's good, isn't he? He really is. And I'm so glad to be back down here with you. I'm glad to see the church going on and growing and striving. I believe God knows what he's doing, don't you? Doesn't always set so well with us, but he knows what he's doing. The Bible says he only doeth wondrous things. And I never cease to be amazed at how wonderful he is. Especially that he'd use somebody like me. Somebody like you. That he doesn't need... Doesn't need any abilities whatsoever, just availability. God is so good. I want to preach to you tonight on a message that I'm sure you may have heard somewhere before. I want to preach a different angle on it, but I want to preach to you about five fools in the Bible. Now, most times I've heard this preached, the four biggest fools in town. But I want to preach it to you on what kind of fool am I? We were just talking about it. I won't tell you what we were talking about in the room back here before we started. You would think not a one of us is spiritual enough to be here tonight. Deacons might as well resign, the whole bunch of them. But there used to be a song. If there wasn't, there should have been. Anybody remember from the 50s or 60s, what kind of fool am I? I thought so. I wasn't sure. I haven't listened to that stuff so long. I wouldn't, 50s is ancient history today. But, the word fool is in the Bible over and over and over again. I started to count how many times it was in there, and I found out it wasn't worth it. But what I did find out is there's about 8 different words that are translated fool in the King James Bible. Now, that does interest me, because when God uses more than one word, there's always a reason why he does that. He doesn't waste words. He's not careless. There's a shadow. There's a slight I'm loose from the microphone tonight. I found out, so I ain't all around. It's again, and I've used this illustration before, but it's almost like picking up a diamond, putting it in the light and turning it around and seeing a lot of things. Now, the word fool, is a word we put it out there and we say, well, you're a fool. And, what do we mean by that? Well, we mean you do foolish things. Well, that's a brilliant statement. You never define a word by the word, but that's the only way we can define fool. But God wasn't limited like that. And he used several different words. Now, I'm not going to try to preach more. I tried to do that this morning, and 45 minutes into the message, I decided that wasn't a good idea. But I want to share with you tonight 5 fools in the Bible. And most times when this message is preached, it's preached from the concept, well, if you're not one of us, you must be a fool. But I want to talk to all of us tonight. Because as I was getting ready to preach this message, I got hit hard over it. And I was preaching on Job this morning. Those last 3 or 4 chapters of Job where God is putting him through the mill. And the two started to blend together in my mind as I was teaching this morning. I got to the place where Job said, I'm vile. He said, I repent in dust and ashes. And I said to our folks, God said Job was perfect. And here's Job, and Job is going like he is the worst sinner in the world. Now, why do you suppose that is? The most spiritual people, the closer you get to the light, the more flaws you see. Spirituality is kind of like humility. Once you think you got it, you've lost it. But the child of God who is pulling up close to the presence of the Savior, the closer I get to him in prayer, the more unworthy I feel to ask him for anything. The more I read his word and see his splendor and his majesty and his purity and his holiness, the more unworthy I feel to be called by his name.
Because the closer you get to the light, the more flaws you see. My computer at home, the CD-ROM drive likes to stop mid-flow. I was installing a program last night, and after an hour, I said, something's not right here. And I looked, sure enough, lights aren't going on. Now, anybody that plays with computers knows that in a CD-ROM drive or a DVD-ROM drive, there's a tiny hole that you can take a paper clip, you straighten it out, you shove it straight in there, and you pop the drive out. And sometimes that's enough to get it started or at least get the broken disc out that's in there that you scratched on the way in. But my disc is black. And it's behind a black door. And it's down under a black desk. I'm not exaggerating on this one. And the hole in the black disc is black. Now, I can't see the front row. You just saw me sing. I hold the book about there so I can read the words. I had to get on the floor with a light to try to find the imperfection, and it had to be a bright light in order to see it so I could fix what was broken. Now, in the Christian life, that's what we are. The closer we draw to the light, the more revealed about ourselves, the less spiritual and qualified we are, the more dependent we become on Christ, and the more God's able to use us. That old saying in the 70s, I had to find myself, is the wrong thing. I need to find out I'm worthless before God can do anything with me. And you may be here tonight, and you say, preacher, that's why I'm not a Christian. You people are self-deprecating. You're never good enough. Well, you go on thinking you're all right, and we'll see who wins. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, as we get started tonight. I can't use the excuse I can't see the clock anymore. I just won't. I don't see to the left. I have tunnel vision. Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, God, in case you didn't catch what he said there, says that there is absolutely no one alive who is good. Not naturally. We're broken. Psychology, the Greek word psychos, soul, logia, the study of the soul, oddly enough, refuses to consider anything written in the scripture as authoritative about the soul. They're talking about ids and egos and superegos and four patterns and all this craziness that's out there, but they will not look to the scriptures and see what God says about us. Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Father, before we get too far in, I want to ask your blessing once again. Father, please help me to say tonight here in this church what needs to be said. Lord, I know there are folks that have come here who have a need in their heart. Father, I pray that you would meet that need. Lord Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would be sent down on this place. Father, if you'd be pleased that you'd send a revival into our hearts and lives, Lord, not so we can feel better about ourselves, but simply so that the fire of God burns within us. And like Paul, we can say, the love of Christ constrains me. When the ministry is no longer a burden and becomes a blessing. When we no longer seek the gifts, but we seek the giver. When we no longer want the miracles, but we want fellowship with our Savior. Father, would you transform us and meet with us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that the greatest need of our day is for men and women to understand Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God looked down from heaven to see if there was anyone down here who did good. No, not one. You say, preacher, why is that important? We're spending millions of dollars to find out why pig manure stinks. We're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to study gay bars in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. All in the name of the U.S. stimulus package this time around. We are studying all kinds of human behavior. We don't want to put mass murderers to death. We want to find out why they did it. I'll tell you why they did it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? All human psychology has to start from that point. You know why socialism doesn't work, will not work, cannot work? You know why communism, Marxism will not work, cannot work, does not work? You know why modern sociology does not work, cannot work, will not work? It is all predicated on the fact that man is basically good. And we just got to remove the negatives that cause us to be. But man is basically rotten to the core. Amen. The fool said there is no God. Every time we buy into their philosophy, we're fools. We're fools. Why is America having an economic meltdown today? Because of bad bank loans? No. Why is America having an economic bank destruction because CEOs are making 400 times what the average employee makes? No. Because corrupt politicians have done stupid things and allowed? No. Why is America in trouble tonight? Because of Deuteronomy chapter 28. We can study it. We can go to John Maynard Keynes. We can go to Adam Smith. We can go to every economist the world has ever known. We can do all we want to do to find out what's wrong with this country. But the fact remains that America has said there is no God. The word fool in this particular book or verse does not mean necessarily one who has no intelligence. In fact, none of the four words that I'm going to use tonight means a person that has no intelligence. You can understand when a person is mentally impaired when they act foolishly and do foolish things. But none of the words that God translates fool tonight have anything to do with that. This first word, and I'm not going to give you the word, well, it's a man's name, so I can give it to you, Nabal. Do you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 25? David had his band of merry men, and for years they had been defending the Israelites against the Philistines while Saul was chasing David down trying to kill him. And finally, David was kind of out in the wilderness. They are starving, and they are hungry. And they go to one of the men that they have protected for years. He made his men stood as a thin line between the Philistines and Nabal and his sheep shearers and his crop growers. And David just took care of him because he is an Israelite. And so David was desperate. And he said, send word to Nabal and get me something to eat. Nabal said, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? And his wife said, he's named fool for the right reason, Nabal. Now what's that mean? That means crude, rude, and unwilling to learn. Not unable to learn, but crude, rude, and unable to learn. It's kind of like, it's one thing to make jokes because you're redneck. And there's nothing wrong with being a redneck. You want to be a redneck. But when you get in civil company, it helps to be civil. It, you know, people today, I want to look like I want to express myself. Well, in a 10% unemployment, go ahead and express yourself right to the welfare line, the soup kitchen. A smart person decides, I better get some people skills. I better read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. I better get me some decent clothes and maybe get 3/4 of the tattoos removed and maybe cut your hair or let it grow instead of having tufts of it all over the place and try to look a little normal. Why? I can be myself. No, but if you want to eat, you better do what you got. Do you think every generation of fathers and families that the men always wanted to be dressed up walking into church wearing a suit? I hate suits. If I find a guy who made ties in heaven, I will stomp him. I like sneakers and blue jeans. But when I come here, and when I come before my people, and any time I preach, I dress what is appropriate. I have learned. Clothes don't make the man. They sure help what other people think of. And if you look like the world, smell like the world, act like the world, and then talk like a Christian, nobody's going to believe you.
Amen.
Nabal wouldn't learn. He hadn't learned the simplest courtesies, the simplest gratitudes. Nabal's hit don't mire no how. Yeah, sure do. If you want to live in civil company. He was talking to the next king of Israel. He was talking to the grandfather of Jesus Christ. And he blew him off as if he was nobody. And his wife said, no wonder you're named fool. How often, as a child of God, do we miss it? Now here, maybe, let me say this to you before I get too far afield. You may be here tonight, you've never been saved. You've never been born again. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. It's all the same thing. You say, preacher, I don't believe in God. Yes, you do. You say, you call me a liar? Absolutely. You say, that's not fair. You don't even know me. Don't need to. I met your brother last week. Talked to him this morning. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why does he say in their heart? Because in your head, you know there's a God. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. As you sit here tonight, you know there's a God in heaven, and you know you have sinned against Him, and you know that He's angry with you, and you're trying to push that away. That's kind of as smart as getting bit by a rattlesnake and saying, it never happened. If I just think positive, my leg will stop swelling up and turning black. And I will live. You're here tonight, you say to me, preacher, I don't believe in God, never did believe in God. Yes, you did. Something happened in your life that you didn't want to face God. And you decided that you'd close your eyes and pretend He didn't exist. That's like closing your eyes to a polar bear. If he's hungry, he'll let you know He exists. If you're honest with yourself, you know there's a difference between you and a dolphin. You tell me dolphins are smart all you want. If they're so smart, why don't they learn to translate dolphin into English? You tell me chimpanzees are smart. There is a chimpanzee who wrote a book the other week called Catching the Fire. I was listening to PBS. Oh, this guy is a gem. He has figured out what caused man to differentiate and develop separate from monkeys in the plan of evolution. But this one beats it all. I've never heard anybody this stupid in my life. 2 million years ago. 2 million years ago, a monkey learned how to cook. A monkey learned how to cook, and because he knew how to cook, he could come down out of the tree. Because if he'd come down out of the tree before he knew how to cook and play with fire, a lion would have eaten him and we'd still be monkeys. Now, when that monkey learned how to cook with a fire in a tree, he learned how to eat cooked food. And because he could eat cooked food, which has more energy release, instead of spending 6 hours a day eating like a chimpanzee does, and most of their head is mouth and teeth, he could now only eat 20 minutes to an hour a day, and he didn't need the teeth. And as his teeth started to evolve or recede back, his brain cavity got bigger. He got more brains. Finally, he decided he could come down out of the tree. When he got to the ground, he evolved into a man. Now, this is some idiot Catching the Fire. You can get it for $26.95 at Barnes & Noble. You say, preacher, did you buy it? You kidding me? How come make an idiot rich? They said to him, what archaeological evidence? What are the artifacts? You found some fire in a tree. He said, no, we didn't find any proof of this. It just had to happen because there's no other way it could. You have half a brain in your head. You know that you're different than a chimpanzee. You have half a brain in your head. Man is the only creature on this earth that makes the earth bend to his will instead of bending to the earth's will. Now, I know the environmentalists who think they're monkeys are trying to get us back in. You say, preacher, are you against green? I am so against green. I won't wear green. I won't look at green. I run red lights rather than go green lights. If a company advertises green, I won't buy their product. Why not, preacher? Do you want the earth destroyed? No. I read the book. The book says it's going to last another 1,000 years. God put us here to have dominion over the earth. To conquer the earth. Not destroy it, not waste it, but He put it here for us. We're sprawling. We got to stop urban sprawl. Do you know that 90% of the United States is unpopulated? 30% of New Jersey, the most densely populated state in the Union, is all that there's people. There's 70% of New Jersey. Nobody lives there. Oh, trees, trees. There's more trees today than there were when Columbus got here. Obviously, you read the same book. You're not an animal, and you know in your soul you're not an animal. And you're moral. You say, I don't believe there's a God. What gives you your sense of right and wrong? What gives you your sense of right and wrong? I'll tell you what it is. It is the image of God within you. It's not in any other creature on this earth. And God said to you, you must be born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You say, preacher, none of that stuff makes sense. It's not going to make sense till you trust Christ as Savior. And God works the miracle of the new birth, and the Spirit of God transforms you from within, opens your mind and illuminates you, and you begin to see. And then you'll say with us, just like we said, let God be true, but every man a lie. There's a lot of people, even Christians, running around who refuse to learn just the simplest, like Nabal, the simplest loyalties, the simplest courtesies. I mean, I remember the first time I stood up here when a lady stepped to the platform. Brother Ron said, you're making me look like a fool. I still didn't stand up too. From then on, he stood up. We've learned. You wouldn't walk up to the President of the United States offering the sacred... Well, maybe you would. I don't even have to like the man to respect the office and the authority. If I had an invitation to the White House, I would not wear this suit. I'd go buy a new one. You say, why? Because that's what you do. You know one of the reasons we as Christians don't have influence in the world? We're fools like Nabal. Jesus said the children of light, of this world, are wiser than the children of light. Nabal. Somebody who refuses to learn how to get along with people. Second one, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. But as you go there, I'm going to read a couple verses out of Psalm 10 that make the transition. God said, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all their thoughts. You hear what that says? If God's not in every thought that you have, if he's not part of every equation in your life, he said you're wicked. You don't have to get drunk, murder, rape, steal. You don't have to do that to be wicked. You just need to push God out of your thoughts. He saith in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. I'm not going to be judged for my sin. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He'll never see it. Well, there's a dumb one. You ever play peekaboo with a three-year-old? Where's daddy? That's how we do God. He doesn't see it. Okay. Verse 13, wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. God wouldn't dare hold me to account. Oh, really? You keep that thought. Tell me about it in a few more years. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. Man, why do they make these clocks run so fast on pulpits? The second kind of a thief or a fool is one who takes sin lightly. Fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14, verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. The word for fool there is one who despises wisdom. It's not so much they don't have wisdom, they don't like it. It's kind of like nobody, no person, no civilization, no nation in the history of the world has ever, ever borrowed their way out of poverty. Can't do it. Can't do it. You go to the store. Ladies, you come home. Honey, you won't believe. I saved 15% on this. I put it on the credit card. We're only paying 21% there. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. We don't want to have wisdom. My wife, bless her heart, never was real strong in math. But she made a life science out of it. She'd say to me, I want to buy XYZ. It only costs $200. I'd get to the store, it cost $299.99. She always rounded down. Man, I'd look and I'd say, taxes, that's $500. That $200. Oh, yeah. Didn't want to learn it. Because she knew she'd get me in the store, I was going to end up buying it. It didn't matter. I remember one time the washing machine broke. I said to her, now, do you want a new washing machine? No, I want to get it fixed. I went to Sears. I bought a new transmission. I put the washing machine together. It worked fine. It's just like it was brand new. She said, I want to go get a new washer. I said, I knew you were going to do that. I said, at least sell this one, get some of it back. But sometimes we don't want wisdom. Fools make a mock at sin. They don't want wisdom. Jesus is hanging on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth, suspended between two sinners side by side. And the one says to him, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and us with you. And they begin to mock him and make fun of him. Fools make a mock at sin. Here they are being crucified for something they did, and they deserve it, and they're making fun of him. But not only they, but down below his feet are the Pharisees doing the same thing. The very men who Nicodemus said, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these things save God be with him. We know who you are. We know who you are. But I don't want that wisdom. I don't want that wisdom. I don't like that. Fools make a mock at sin. Oh, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't date no girls. What do? You don't have any fun in life. I've been having a ball. I've been having a ball. I'm as free as a bird. But I gave the day of my death to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my philosophy in life is, go ahead, threaten me with heaven. When I went to Iraq, everybody said, oh, you can get shot over there. I said, well, I mean, I wasn't going to line up for it. It's not fun. But I didn't care. You say, preacher, are you out of your mind? No, I'm just out of this mess down here. I've fallen in love with heaven. People think I'm crazy. Christians sometimes think I'm crazy. Doesn't bother me a bit. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm getting old enough where there's no peer pressure. All my friends have died off. I do what I want. Young people, I just tell them what they used to think and believe. They have to listen because they don't know them. Oh, fools make a mock at sin. The Bible says, do not drink wine, thou nor thy sons with thee, when thou goest into the temple, that thou mayest put a difference between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the unholy. God said a priest of God, when he's on duty, isn't to drink any wine because he needs his moral judgment clear. You and I are a royal priesthood. We are always in the temple. There's never a time for a Christian to have their mind out of control. The Bible says that we're not to destroy this temple. You say, preacher, you're fat. That are skinny. We had Bob Kinsey in our church at a picnic. Bob ate about 15 hot dogs. He ate about 20 hamburgers. A guy ate a steak. He brought home a trout. He ate that. And when he got done, he said, let's go get some ice cream. And the guy didn't weigh 140 pounds dripping wet. Had to jump around in a shower to get wet. And I got one, oh, I can't lose weight. I keep finding it. I don't know what. I mean, I can't gain weight. I can. Look at a picture of food in Women's Day, and I've gained 5 pounds. But I can't exercise. A doctor told me I can't. I'm not supposed to. No upper body, no lower body. That doesn't leave anything else to go. She doesn't even yell at me for being fat, so you'll have to take it up with them. You know, the Bible tells me that I'm to take care of this temple that he's given me. The Bible tells me that I'm to have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. There are so many pieces of wisdom in the Word of God where God, who created you and me, tells us how to live best. And we say, God, you don't know what you're talking about. Why, God, you know, before I was a Christian, I could have fun. Now I can't do anything. You kids are probably saying, half of you, I wish my mom and dad didn't go to that stupid church. You know what? I used to say that too, but I am sure glad my mom and dad went to that stupid church. I'm glad that my mom and dad believed what the Bible said, train up a child when he is old in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. I'm glad that they didn't give an inch. No matter how hard my sister and I battled and fought and struggled against, I've told you before, for high school graduation, my dad gave me a ticket to San Francisco. He said, you want to be a hippie? Go be one. I'll pay you to get there. You pay to come home. Took exactly 3 weeks sitting at 343 Ellis Street in the Coronado Hotel. Looked out the window. And there was a kid eating out of a garbage can. And I said, I'm out of here. I came home. I wasn't interested in that anymore. Fools make a mock at sin. Oh, I know better than God how to rear children. Rearing children is the best way to raise them. You'll get that in about 5 minutes. Oh, I don't need, why we got to go to church all the time? Why do we got to go? Kevin Gignac. You know this story when I get telling it. Kevin Gignac, mom and dad, members of our church. Mom and dad kind of careless on whether they came to church or not. They were pretty faithful, but, you know, drop of a hat, they'd stay home. They had family over whatever. As Kevin got older, he didn't see the real need to go into church all the time. Now, he had had a brother, 14 years old, Matthew, that died of cancer. You'd have thought maybe it would have made him serious about it, but Kevin didn't think. One Sunday night, we were standing outside of the church building and a car came screaming around the corner of the building and said to Dennis, Kevin's dad, said, just about like that. He said, what's wrong? Don't know. Don't know. Well, what? Well, something's happened to Kevin. What? I don't know. Now, Dennis is a fireman and an EMT. And the police wouldn't tell him where his son was or what had happened. You know you're in trouble then. He was riding along the shore of a lake with his 3-year-old on the front of a jet ski when a water skier came out of an inlet and the jet ski went head on into the side of the boat, Kevin's face went through the propeller. And his 3-year-old son's head went through the handlebars. Kevin is dead. The little boy is permanently brain damaged. If they'd have been in church, wouldn't have happened. Forsaking not the assembling yourselves together. Yeah, but preacher, I need a vacation. You don't need one from God. You don't need one from God. I got a family comes to church from Cape Cod. They drive an hour and a half to church on Sunday morning. They stay. They got 4 daughters and they cook. And they feed the preacher. I love it. They stay for evening service and they go home. This morning, I'm standing there talking to him. He's preaching for me tonight. But I was sitting there talking to him, and one of my deacons comes in and says, he said, won't be here next week. I'm going to Cape Cod. And the guy looks at me and said, that's an excuse for not going to church? I've never found anybody make an excuse for not doing what God tells you to do that God doesn't remove the excuse. Fools refuse wisdom. Thirdly, I got to hurry up. Man, I'm having too much fun. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Luke 24, verse 25. 2 of his disciples are walking down the road to Emmaus. They're discussing how that Jesus, they had hoped, would be the Messiah. But now he's been crucified. He's gone. What are we going to do? We had hoped he was... And all of a sudden, a third man shows up. And they're walking down the street and they're talking... Oh, we thought he was going to be the Messiah. Well, you reckon because, why do you think that? Well, because over here it said this about him and he filled that. And over here it said that. Yeah, but doesn't it also say that he must suffer these things? Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe the Scriptures. The word fools there is one who will not know or does not know knowledge that is knowable. My friend, every time you do not read the Bible and find out and study it to find out what's right and what's wrong, what God wants you to do, what God doesn't want, when you don't do it and you allow your preacher to tell you what's right and wrong, and you just kind of coast through the week, you set yourself up for a disaster because you're not knowing the knowable. You're not knowing the knowable. Every time you read something in the Bible, say, oh, I wonder what that means. And you just close your Bible, I'll figure it out someday. You're refusing to know the knowable. Every time, every day that you do not spend time with God until you sense His presence in your life. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that says read your Bible every day and pray every day. But there is a whole lot about communing with God every day. You can read the Bible and never hear the voice of God. You can pray and never speak to God. Until and unless when you close your eyes and begin to pray, you can sense yourself in the very presence of God. You ought to stop praying and say, God, I'm not saying another word until by faith you allow me to believe that you, not the other people in the church, not anybody else, my kids, nobody else, until you convince me that you hear me. I talk to you. And then when I read the Scripture, it is not enough to just read it. I need to know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering. I don't need to know about Him. I need to know Him. The reason we study about Him is so that when we confront Him, we know what to expect out of Him. Job knew God. His 3 friends didn't know God, but Job said, I've heard it, now I've seen you face to face. It's real now, God, because you touched my very soul and made me to know you. Every one of us sitting here tonight can know God. We can know God. How does God give you the comfort to go through the trials of life? You need to know Him. You don't need a list that says when you're sad, read this verse. When you're glad, read this verse. When you're mad, read this verse. You need to know Him. The verse has only gotten the Scripture in the 1500s. The average person couldn't read 200 years ago. They can know God because they memorized the Scriptures. Because when they went to church on Sunday morning, it was 5 to 6 hours. None of these sissy 50-minute sermons to them. They wanted to know the knowable. They wanted to know the knowable. Is there an insatiable desire in your heart today to know everything that you can know about God? If there's none, you're a fool. You're a fool. Fourth one. I've got to hurry. That's on you. Is there a way to stop this? Anyway. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. We all know this guy. This is the guy who's planted his fields and everything's come in. God's blessed him. And he says to himself, soul, hey, we're doing pretty good. We need to tear down these barns, build bigger ones, fill them up. We need to, boy, this has been the greatest year I've ever had. Boy, we have stored it up. We are stashing it away. Bless God. Can't think of his name right now. Had a fellow in my church. He was only in his late 20s, if he was even that old. He had damage to his left knee, and he walked with a lot of pain. I said to him, man, they do replacements on knees. And he said, I know, preacher, but they tell me they can only do it 3 or 4 times at the most, usually only twice. And they don't like to do it on young people like me because in 15, 20 years, when the second or third one fails, they won't be able to do it again, and then what happens? Sounds logical, doesn't it? I was in Massachusetts exactly 1 year when he got hit by a drunk driver and killed. Thou fool, this day shall your life be required. If we put off everything till tomorrow, tomorrow may never get here. Tomorrow may never get here. The fool, in this case, is a word that means a non-thinker, a senseless, a silly person. He doesn't do what he can do when he can do it. He's just senseless. He has no common sense whatsoever. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? He didn't look ahead. He didn't look ahead. Someday I will die if Jesus doesn't come. I am the most unhealthy person of all my friends, yet they're all in heaven, and I'm stuck here. I couldn't even get shot. I mean, the other guy got in the front seat. Say, preacher, you're out of your mind. Yeah, I'll cover that in a minute too. You know what? I know what's out there. I know what's out there. I've read the last chapter of the book. You're here tonight, you say, preacher, I'm not sure. Some of you wives, your husbands say, we need to sacrifice. What am I sacrificing for? When am I going to get rich? When you get home? When you get home? I was just down Plymouth the other day. Took my grandsons down to see Plymouth Village. Let them get a little piece of history. Miles Standish was walking around, had his gun stuck down his back. They hadn't changed a bit. I asked him, and I said, they said, these boys need to see that gun. Bring it out. We talked to old Miles, and then we talked about the Mayflower coming across, and I said, some of our people were on there. He said, oh, yeah, no. I said, I'm not one of the sons of the Mayflower. I said, the Separatists. Well, yeah, there were some strange guys here that weren't of us. I said, yeah, I know. Today we call them Baptists, and we is. Can you imagine for a moment a group of 102 people crossing the Atlantic Ocean in a boat that's only 100 feet long, if it was that long? Brother Tom and I, laying head to toe, would have had our feet and head on opposite sides of the boat. I mean, that thing was lit. They came over here and they looked at a brand new continent and they saw what you and I are today. The man who wrote the United States Constitution, the greatest political document ever written in the history of mankind, bar none, Hammurabi and all the rest, You say, what about the Ten Commandments? God wrote that. I'm talking about men writing. The U.S. Constitution still would be the greatest governing document if our president... The entire continent had the foresight. Oh, beautiful for patriots' dreams that look beyond the years, her alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. Can you imagine? They looked out and they said, someday this nation's going to need a government. They were free when they got here. They were supposed to go to Virginia. They missed by accident. When they got to Massachusetts, there was nothing and nobody who could say, you need a governor. You need to submit an application to be a slave to England. They didn't do that. They were free. They said, someday we're going to need a government. And we know men are sinful and they'll get in trouble and they'll abuse power. So we're going to separate the power of the government to three separate equal groups so that when a president gets too cocky, the Congress and the Supreme Court can bring them down. And if the court gets too cocky, the president and the Congress can bring them down. And if the Congress gets too cocky, the American people can vote them out. Most inefficient form of government man has ever developed. But the greatest system of government man has ever developed. They look beyond the years. Oh, you know what killed, from a human perspective, what has killed our economy? For the last 30 years, people have not been concerned with reinvesting into the businesses. The CEOs and executives have sucked out as much as they can. The stockholders have sucked out as much as they can. The workers have sucked out as much as they can, and nobody could renew, nobody could retool, and the rest of the world just blew right on by us. Now we look and see. You say, why'd that happen? Because the United States is not in Bible prophecy. 5 years ago, do you believe, do you know, would you ever imagine that we'd have seen a day like today? Would you ever imagine? One more thing, one more fool. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake. We're fools for Christ's sake. You know what the Greek word is there? It's the word moros. In the accusative case, it is the word moron. You know what it means? Moron. It means somebody who couldn't care less about what people think of them. Moron, a true moron by scientific definition, lives in their own little world, couldn't care less. Idiot means self. When it talks about Judas went to his own place, the word there is idiot. He went to his own place. A moron, a fool in this case, is somebody who could not care what's going on around them. God said we are fools. We are morons. For His sake. The rest of the world should think we're crazy. They should think we're nuts. But know that we're screwed on the right bolt. This time of year, I'll close with this illustration. I know that you'll appreciate that. This time of year, when I was living in New Jersey, we would be in the Delaware River. You had to go in from the New Jersey side because it wasn't legal from the Pennsylvania side. But we would go into the Delaware River in the middle of the night. We would take 55-gallon drums, and we would set them up, and then we'd put 2x12s across the top of them. We would take an inner tube with a car battery out there, and we would have about an 850,000 candle power spotlight, floodlight. We would stand in the dark in the Delaware River, and we would watch the shad come up in the moonlight. Now, in April and May, they were going upstream to spawn. And we would shoot them. I mean, bing, 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 you'd shoot them. They're everywhere. You'd shoot. But in June, they would come back down to die. And you might shoot 10 or 12 in April, but in June, you could shoot 100 in a night and you weren't affecting anything because they're going to die anyway. My sister, there's a fool, but anyhow, she and her husband got married, and their honeymoon was a canoe trip down the Delaware River in June. Dead shad everywhere. Steak! Woo! Nobody ever said she was smart. One night we were in the river, and the shad are coming down, and we're shooting shad. And one of the kids hit a carp. Now a carp ain't floating downhill. When you hit a carp, you hook a carp, you shoot a carp with a bow and arrow, he goes straight upstream as fast and as hard as he can. And snap the line. I mean, you didn't get a chance to hit the button and release it. Boom! It was gone. Broken. Out of there. Any old dead fish can float downhill and fit into this world. Christians are trying to outworld the world and bring the world in. Oh, don't have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Have an art gallery here. Invite all the artists in the area with all their filth and vile lives. Bring them in. Why? Well, they'll get used to being inside the church building and you might get a chance to win them. That's the philosophy of our world today. Try to be like the world. They don't have church buildings anymore. They have campuses. Don't put Baptist on the door anymore. Might offend someone. Community assembly. A ministry of Woodlawn Baptist Church. That's about this big at the bottom sign. Paul said we are fools for his sake. We don't care what the world thinks of us. We're swimming upstream. We're not floating downstream to die. We're swimming upstream to live. You may have got a hook in me, devil. You might even have got an arrow through me. But I'm swimming upstream, and I'm going to break that line, and you're not going to hold me. I don't care what the devil thinks of my life. I don't care what the world thinks of my life. I don't even actually care what the churches think about my life. The only person I care about is the one who's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I can be a fool and say there is no God. I can be a fool and make a mock at sin. I can refuse to know the knowable. I can refuse to learn how to get along with people. I can be the fool who's slow of heart to believe the Scripture. I can be a fool who just will not look down the street and see where we're going. And I can live a life that isn't worth living. Or I can be a fool for Christ. The whole world can laugh and mock. But I want to tell you something. If you're worshiping the God of Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, you're worshiping the wrong God. I don't care if that's the end thing or not. Can't we just get along? All just get along? Nope, we can't. Nope, we can't. I, the Lord, am a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Lord, what's your name? I am that I am. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yahshua. I am that I am, the Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. I don't care what the world thinks of me. What kind of fool are you tonight? Are you the kind of fool that's going to go to hell because you won't believe there's a God? Are you the kind of fool that's going to lose your rewards in heaven because you won't believe in God? You won't obey what's there to obey. You won't know what's there to know. You won't gather what wisdom is there to have. Or are you going to be a moron for Jesus Christ? Somebody who just doesn't care what the world thinks, only cares what he thinks. What kind of fool am I? Father, again, I've done the best I know to deliver the message that you gave us. Now, Father, would you finish the work? Lord Jesus, there are some here tonight who have never trusted Christ as personal Savior. Can't be. In a room this big, there just has to be somebody that needed to hear about getting saved tonight. how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's somebody here tonight, Lord Jesus, that needs to trust You as Savior. Would You send Your Holy Spirit and tap them on the shoulder, and Lord, make them so uncomfortable that they cannot be still. And then our Heavenly Father, there are those of us here tonight who, when we look at this spectrum of fools that You lay in the Bible, I felt the words hitting me like stones bouncing. Lord, I heard the inconsistency is in my own life. We've been fools. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for You will last. Yet, Father, we get so detracted, so distracted, so carried away, that we don't know the knowable, we don't do the doable, we don't believe the believable. We just do our own thing and think that You won't take notice, but You do. So, Father, would You help Christians to do right tonight? Father, would You just help us to be fools for the Lord Jesus? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know, I guess we're going to have verse or two of invitation. Let's stand together. If God's speaking to you, you just come. I don't feel like staying up here and begging you to come. What kind of fool are you tonight? You're going to be somebody's fool. Might as well be a fool for Christ. Say, preacher, I feel so unworthy. All that means is you're getting closer to the light. I feel so dirty and vile. You're just getting closer to the light. You get close enough, and the light cleanses. You get close enough, you see your flaws, you can get them fixed. I think that these people that have near-death experiences, and they see a white light and they come back. I'll tell you what the white light is. It's that light over the operating table that the doctor's looking down at them to fix what's broken. They haven't been dead. They're getting close. All of a sudden, out of the darkness, the light shines. If you're here tonight, you need to get saved. There's plenty of folks here. I'd be glad to show you how to know for sure you're going to heaven. God's speaking to you. Come, brother preacher.